This is Harriet Kamak, the host of Down to Earth, the show in which we talk about the issues that matter. And today on our show, I want to talk about this. I bet you've never heard this before. Remove the contagion. That's right. We're talking about removing the contagion of sin within the power structure of the church and how the leadership at the top knows about it, are active participants in it, and allow it to happen. When it happens from the top, it becomes pervasive. Before you know it, everyone thinks that it is okay to do it. And before you know it, we're all askance at what is going on in the church when the church should be setting the standard for the rest of the society to follow. So we're going to use as our scripture base this morning, 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. And we're going to see where Paul the apostle was who directed the leaders of the church to excommunicate and remove that leader who caused that situation. In other words, to get them out of there so that the whole church does not become corrupted. We live in a day and time today when people claim they are bishops, but they seem to be bishops of many wives, or they also seem to have boyfriends at the same time. We live in a day and time when bishops seem to think that it's okay for them to go to church. It's okay for them to have nightclubs in the church and to play songs in the church and to have, you know, instead of watch night services, to have services that promote just regular secular living. It seems that there is no difference between the church and the rest of the world. We're looking for a leadership standard in our church today. In our world today, we need to see a distinction between what is sin and what is not. But we can't find it anywhere. In fact, we see people misbehaving. People are behaving however they want to. And yet, it continues and continues and continues unabated, and nobody is speaking up. The few of us who are speaking up are ostracized, we are vilified, and we are called out when we are in fact pointing to the fact that the scriptures are the standard. If Paul the apostle was single and nobody could say Paul had a woman, a man, or anybody in between, why is it that the rest of us can't stay single? Why is it that we are married but can't stay married? Why is it that we are married but there have to be a contagion of people behind us with all kinds of scandals and nobody is calling for the removal of those people at the top? So we're going to find out what does the scripture have to say about this. And the scriptures are very specific in this regard. And we're going to find out what the Bible has to say. And when I read it to you, you might even say, but wait a minute, did this happen 2,000 years ago? Or did this just happen 2 months ago? Well, we're going to find all of that out. But if this is your first time watching Down to Earth, and if this is your first time meeting me, my name is Harriet Kamak. Not only am I an author and a minister, I'm also the founder of the Exodus Foundations. For more information, go to our website, harrietkamak.tv, as well as the exodusfoundation.com to find out more information about how we're ridding our community and our society of ending violence against women and children. And of course, of reading our society of human sex trafficking. So for more information, you can go see us and find us on those sites. Amen. Amen. And for those of us who have been watching us for some time, thank you so much for watching us. And thank you for your continued support of this broadcast. Your support is helping us to keep us on the air. Thank you so much for your support. We appreciate your support in whatever form that you choose to do so. Thank you so much. I'm humbled. Really humbled by your continued support. Thank you so much. Amen. Amen. So, remove the contagion. I want to read for you the scripture reference. It's 1 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 1 to 9. And I want to jump into it. Now, let me see if I can find my glasses because I have eyes that are over 50. I'm proud to be over 50. Thank you. So, my eyes need a little help just like yours. Amen. Amen. 1 Corinthians chapter 5. And as usual, I will be reading from the New King James Version of the Bible. And it starts like this, at verse 1. It starts like this. It describes it as immorality defiles the church. It says, it is actually reported that there is sexual immorality among you, and such sexual immorality as is not even named among the Gentiles, that a man has his father's wife. And you are puffed up and have not rather mourned that he who has done this deed might be taken away from among you. For indeed, as absent in body but present in spirit, that is Paul. He says, for I indeed am absent in the body, but he's present in spirit. For indeed, I, as absent in body but present in spirit, have already judged, meaning that he judged him as though he were present, who has done this deed. In the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, here are the instructions. When you are gathered together, along with my spirit, with the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, deliver such a one to Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that his spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. You see, very clear. Your glorying is not good. Do you not know that a little leaven leavens the whole lump? Therefore, purge out the old leaven, that you may be a new lump, since you truly are unleavened. For indeed Christ, our Passover, was sacrificed for us. Therefore, let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, nor with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. Father, in Jesus' name, let me decrease so that you might increase. May the words of our mouths and the meditations of our hearts find acceptance in your sight. We pray for someone watching, someone listening today who needs your help. Someone who needs a deliverance from sickness, disease. Someone who needs a deliverance from violence. Someone who needs a deliverance from poverty. We ask you, O God, that you hover over your people every day. That you bring us hope, O God, and deliverance in the truest sense of the word. We pray for people who are worried about their medications and worried about how they will feed themselves this week. We pray for our seniors who, having worked and having contributed, O God, to the building of our societies, that now they're older, that they're abandoned. Jesus, give us your grace this day. Give us grace, oh God, to go through the things we must go through. Somebody, oh God, who might be fearful of losing a job. Oh God, be a provider to someone today. Someone who, having gone through catastrophic weather, Jesus, hover over us this hurricane season. Hover, Lord God Almighty. Keep hurricanes and earthquakes away from us in the mighty name of Jesus. And we give you all the praise and all the glory in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Lord. We thank you right now. Remove the contagion. Yeah? Right there in the scriptures, I just read in your hearing exactly what Paul said. He said sin is promoted by leadership. In other words, the people who are leading us are supposed to set the standard and to be the watchman on the wall to ensure that we maintain the standard. So if you call yourself a leader in the church, then we should not find any blemish in you. We should not find anything wrong with your morality, your sexual morality, or your immorality. There should be no scandal attached to you. I look at some people who are leaders in the church today, and I'm wondering exactly what do they think. Having been accused of things, they continue to hold their position, and nobody speaks up about excommunicating them. Maybe the way we have formed churches is wrong, because now we have formed churches and we own our own churches. We form them so we'd have a board, but the board can't remove us. So what happens is that the people who are around the leaders, you look at what the leader does, but you like him. You like her. So you stand by and you feel proud. That's what Paul is referencing, he says, when he says you're glorying in it. You are actually participating in the sexual immorality. If you do not call it out and demand that he be removed, demand that she be removed, guess what you're doing? You're part of it. Do you realize that? So if I'm sitting under a pastor and I know that that pastor is sinning and is not the bishop of one wife, and is having other relationships, I am just as guilty. Because I know he's doing it and I'm not calling it out. So what did Harriet do? She picked up her purse and walked right out of a church and said, this is not for me. There's no God in here. The God that I know is not sitting in this place. Amen? Amen. That is what we're to do, because Paul is clear. He says that if we don't purge it out, then what happens is that same disease, that same sickness, that same sexual immorality, it becomes part of the whole group. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. For years, I struggled with understanding what this meant until now. It was when I read this week that I began to realize how close we have come to destroying everything that Jesus started, destroying everything that the ancestors built up. We have allowed ourselves to be charismatized by the charismatic behavior and the charm of someone to enamor us and to blind us to what they have done. I know you like me, but as much as you like me, guess what? If I'm wrong, I'm wrong. And if I'm wrong, I should be removed from my position. Sometimes I think the church has it so messed up that the society is doing better than the church. You will see CEOs misbehave and they're immediately removed from their position. But you have bishops still strutting across the stage, even though they have done very wrong things. I mean, a few years ago, there was one in Atlanta. He still continued to preach, even though people came out and young boys came out and accused him of sexual immorality. He still continued to preach. And you all still went up under him. And you all still let it happen. Paul said, what did Paul say? Paul said, if right here in 1 Corinthians, it is written, Paul said, communicate such a one, deliver him unto Satan so that his flesh might be destroyed. So how does it work? We are supposed to bring them before the council of the church, not just the council of the church, but the general population. People need to see that there is a level of accountability that is brought against them. It's disgusting this in this day and age where you see people break the vows of God and destroy everything that even they themselves built up. And nobody is removing them. They're still strutting across the stage and have the nerve to speak the word God and speak the name of God out of their lips. Their crusty lips, their sinned lips, their sexual immorality lips are still have the nerve, still speaking the name of God. They should be delivered up to Satan. And the leaders, right here, it says direct the leaders to punish them also. They're to be punished. That is what the scripture says. So I am so happy that I went to this in the New Testament, because you can't accuse me now of saying I got it from the Old Testament. And in the Old Testament, God was about throwing everyone out if you so much as looked the wrong way. And in the New Testament, you know what they like to say? We're under the dispensation of grace. As if grace is a license to sin. As if grace means that you can be married to one woman, but you have a boyfriend over there. You can be here, but you're accused of being part of power bottoming for rappers. You can be the husband of a wife, but you're seen at parties with other people. Or you're seen coming out of other people's bedrooms. Are we serious? And we expect that the people who know this, the people are going to continue to say that is a man of God. This is why today when they're praying for you, none of the prayers can get answered. This is why today when you go to them and say, I have an issue, pray for me, nothing is getting broken. This is why today the whole world is in such a mess, because there is no power coming out from under the church. Because the people who are in leadership, they're the ones strutting across the stage. And get this, they appoint people who are like them. So they make sure they surround themselves with what I call echo chambers. The people who like them, so the people who are in their own bubble, who continue to mispronounce their misdeeds and tell them it's okay, there's nothing wrong with it, we can do a new polling, and the people don't actually, we can just change the narrative around it. So they surround themselves with echo chambers. I have news for you all. None of you are going to see the face of Jesus. None of you all are going to see. This is a sin. You should not be in a position of leadership in the church and commit, look here, sexual immorality. You're not supposed to. You are supposed to be the standard. And you tell us how to live. So then what we are finding, if the people in the church are doing it, what should the rappers do? So I go to concerts and I go and associate. Yeah, but I'm in the concert. Everybody's in the concert. We have a life. But then after the concert is over, I'm going to the after party. I'm going to be seen coming out of some rapper's bedroom. And the people who are in the house see me. So now they know that more than a little leaven leaveneth that whole lump. And they have the videos to prove it. So I'm a bishop. And I'm going to invite rappers to come and perform. And I'm going to sing the same songs that they sing in the club. In the church. Because I want to be mainstream. And I want to be noted. Are we serious right here? We're supposed to be the standard bearer. In case you missed it, go back into the book of Romans from Romans chapter 1 onwards. Read the entire book of Romans to get your instruction and your biblical map. The roadmap to Christianity is in the book of Romans. Especially for those of you who are called to lead. We cannot do the same thing. So I'm a minister. So in my family, they know me. Yeah. So they're polite to invite me to parties. But guess what they know? I'm not likely to show up. But they still extend the invitation anyway, because they know what? I cannot say that I'm the minister and I'm there drinking and jiving and drinking and getting into it. So where is the anointing going to come from to break the yokes when they have issues, when they need prayer said, when they don't know, sis, I don't know what's going on, cause, auntie, this, whatever they call me, what is going on? I need your help. Can you pray? Say something. Who are they going to call on? Well, that's the problem the church faces today. People need help and can't get into the church because the entry fee is Malachi 3 and 8. Bring all your tithes into the storehouse. I almost said something as thank the Lord he corrected my speech on this day. Because the church is no longer the storehouse of God's goodness. The church is no longer the repository of everything that is good. The church has now become a symbol of everything that is bad in the society. You want to see what is bad in the society? Look at the church. We've weaponized Christianity. People carrying guns into the church because it's their Second Amendment right. And they're weaponizing Christianity in the name of hate. To hate everybody else. You know where that comes from? The leadership. Because a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Everything that the people are doing is what they see the leaders do. In my household, I am the leader. So what I do is what my children feel compelled to do. So those who can't stand it, they just don't bother coming around. They even will go as far as saying, no, mom, I can't come around you because I'm doing something. They recognize what? I walk the walk. I don't talk the walk. The difference that we are seeing today is that the people who are the leadership in the church, come on now, you read it, 1 Corinthians 5, 1 to 9. The people who are the leaders in the church are doing what? All they're doing is talking the walk. They're busy telling you what the Bible says. In fact, I guarantee you, none of them ever preached this part of 1 Corinthians chapter 5. Have you ever heard it? But you have heard the latter parts, though, that talk about a little leaven of the whole lump. And where they come in and they start telling people off in the church about how if one person doesn't tithe, then everybody else doesn't tithe. They will tell you that part. But did they tell you about this part about sexual immorality? Do you know why they can't preach it? Because they're practicing it. These bishops and leaders and apostles and everything they call themselves today are the ones practicing sexual immorality. In this story, in this particular text, it references incest. And it is very clear that who you can't have sex with. Didn't they just tell you that? That a man cannot have relations with his father's wife. So for all you who are swinging from pillar to post, you better stop it. All you who in the name of God, you use God as an excuse and 8 couples of you gather at each other's home once a month and then you swing from one bedroom to the other, you better stop it. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. Can I just help you out? I have learned some things in life. I've lived long enough to learn some things in life. You know, one of the things I've learned, that when you let the devil in, you give him just a little leeway, he just comes charging in before you know it. So by the time you look around, your children are jacked up. You've lost your ministry. You've lost your good name in the community, and you've become a laughingstock. Some of you can't keep your hands to yourselves. You're standing on stages with people and you have to grope people. You can't just stand and take a picture and be polite enough to rest your hand on someone's back. You have to be grabbing and touching and feeling, and lost your whole ministry because you can't control your urges. Look at that rapper, well-known, built himself an empire from the ground up. Didn't have money, didn't have family who gave him anything. He built it himself. But what has he done? He destroyed it himself because he could not control his own urges. But you know who helped him to do it? There was a bishop there with him. That's the only one we heard of. There might have been others, but that's the one that we heard of. Do you see what I'm saying? So that bishop who was there with him, has he come out and said, I'm sorry? No, he says it's a lie and they're telling lies on me. But they have the video evidence, bro. Get out of the position of leadership that you're in because you have ruined the church. This started years ago with a scandal in the church at Rome, and they covered it up because they recognized this, not just the sensationalism, but that how it was pervasive. Because guess what? If you're looking at the leader and the leader is doing it, what are you going to do? Let me use an example. My daughter works. Yeah. So my oldest daughter, she works, right? She works for a company where the leadership, the CEO, is a woman. She admires that woman. She says she's always dressed, you know, she all comes to work, she's put together. And my daughter goes to work every day put together. It got so bad, she admires her so much. One day she came home and she said, Mom, I have to change my laptop case. Because I saw the CEO and she had this one and it was this color and I gotta go and find one. I kid you not. She even changed her purse to a leopard print purse. That's how much she admired her. But you know why she admired her? Because that CEO lives the life. She comes to work when she's supposed to be at work. She does what she's supposed to do. She's polite to everyone. Just really, really a leadership in action. She was so impressed by her, she emulated her by going to get. There I was trekking all over town with her, looking for a laptop case, looking just like that. I was rolling my eyes like crazy. But do you see what happened? That CEO is, she's maybe aware, but unaware of the impact she had on one of her staff members who insists on doing the exact same thing she does. Well, it's the same thing with the bishops. That's why you have to remove the contagion. Because when the people at the top, whether it's the pastor, the deacon trustee board, the deacon board, the elder, whatever they are, when they sin, when they commit immoral acts, guess what? The young people in the church and everyone else is nodding their head that if they do it, I can do it too. A little leaven leaveneth the whole lump. And before you know it, you have what? A contagion of sin. This is why sin is wrong, because sin is never in a vacuum. Sin is never just by itself. It's never like, oh, well, I did it this one time and I won't do it again. Nah, that thing keeps coming back. If you don't kill that urge the first time, it keeps coming back. If you don't believe me, ask anyone who has ever been addicted to drugs or alcohol. Guess what they're tempted to do all the live long day? To drink. You have to suppress the urge and control the urge. Those of us who have never drunk, or who for whom drinking and alcohol is not the problem, or drugs, guess what? That's not how we get tested. Do you see what I'm saying? A little leaven comes in. This is why when it comes in and you feel the first urge, you suppress it so you can remove the contagion. Because once it comes in, it has taken over your life. It has taken over your church. And now your reputation is ruined. Many of you leaders are in tatters right now. Because of what? Because you couldn't give up the 3 G's. You know what the 3 G's are? the guys, the girls, and the gold. So when you start making the money, you can't resist the lure. You watch all these people in our popular culture, and you want to be like them. So you're going to go buy the Bentleys, you're going to buy the Rolls Royces, you're going to buy all the rings. Don't worry, mine are on Shein for $1.50 each. Amen. Right? You're going to buy all the rings, you're going to buy up all the gold, and then you get the girls start liking you. Hey, he looks like a big roller. Let me go check up Bishop. What you doing? And then the guys are going to like you too, if that's your thing, if that's what floats your boat. And before you know it, the whole lump has been corrupted. The church has become a point of corruption that we know have a contagion of sexual immorality, a contagion of sin. And there is no one holding the leadership accountable. All you deacon boards, all you trustee boards, all you boards, and all kind of usher board, this board, that board, none of you are holding the leadership accountable to the contagion of sexual immorality. If you see your church numbers dwindling, it's not just demographics and economics that is contributing to it. You know what else it is? The people know that when he comes into the pulpit on a Sunday, they knew exactly where he was Friday night, where he was Saturday night, and which bedroom he was coming out of on Sunday morning before he walks up into the church. Some of you all are having people come in the church and giving you manicures and other things before you go into the pulpit. We're lucky these are not the days of the Old Testament or the days of Ananias and Caiaphas, aren't we? Because then the fire of God would have come down. So now we're under the dispensation of grace. But my friends, grace is not a license to sin. Grace is not a license to sin. So what are we doing exactly? What exactly are we doing? Are we really, really, really looking into what we're doing? Do we see what we're doing? My friends, we got to remove the contagion. And here is what Paul says. What did he say? He said, deliver them over to Satan. It is so bad that Paul himself wants them excommunicated out of the church so that they don't destroy what the rest of us have built up. Let me just pray for you in these final moments. Father, in Jesus' name, I pray for my brother and my sister. If this is you, that you come to Jesus, ask for forgiveness, and ask, submit that desire, submit that thing. Submit that sin to God so that the elders of the church can come lay hands on you and pray for you and restore you unto the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ. May the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ be with you all now and forever. Amen. Amen. Be blessed.